ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Man who's multiple-time World Cup winner. He captained South Australia for many years, obviously in domestic cricket. Piled on a boatload of runs in first-class cricket, playing over there for Yorkshire in the UK to much acclaim. What else did he do? Played Test cricket. Scored more first-class runs at a better average than anyone else except Sachin Tendulkar and Don Bradman.
And my two favourites, I should say, hit the winning runs and took the winning catch in a World Cup final. He has done both of those things, which is truly incredible. Did you mention the Test match winning record as well, Corbin?
No, chuck that in there.
Best winning percentage in Test match cricket for anyone who's played more than 20 Test matches. Lead analyst, as Corbin said, Darren Lehman, welcome.
Afternoon, Bill and Ben. How are you both? It's good to have you back, Corby, from America. How was your trip?
It was awesome. There wasn't much cricket chat over there, I can assure you. But it's good to be back. Back in the right time of the year, ready to go. Spring in my step. How are you, importantly, Boof? You've been holding it down during the white ball games without me.
Yeah, I have. I've missed you. I've missed all the crew, actually. Looking forward to all the banter that started on WhatsApp with the England coming out and the Ashes not far away. So how exciting it's going to be.
It's going to be huge. We did think we were going to ask you about how your Australian winter, your northern summer went when you were coaching Northants over there and doing your best work. But we thought instead we'd just get this summary from Jeffrey Boycott.
He's good for him, you know, Lehman.
Oh, Lehman's fantastic.
Yeah. Jeffrey?
What?
Darren Lehman. I mean, you're a bloody good player.
No, better than that. A fabulous player for us.
Right, but he, from his coaching viewpoint, he's gone out to Northampton and they're fine. Absolutely fine.
He's a good man.
He is.
We had him at Yorkshire and after me, but I got to know him well. Top player.
Yeah.
And dead straight.
Yeah.
Absolutely straight with everybody, which is what you want sometimes. All this flannel in the dressing room, oh, well, bad looking and all that. It's a load of bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah.
You either play good or you play bad. Tell it straight. Now, if you don't improve, we're not going to win. Simple.
What do you think of that, Boof? That's pretty nice from Jeffrey.
It's the nicest thing he said to me. Jeffrey, yeah, I wish him well, actually. He's been a bit sick. But I had a lot of time when I was at Yorkshire and I spoke to him a lot. So one of the finest players to play the game. And, yeah, that's always nice to get that recognition from greats.
I actually sent you that interview, but I don't think you could work out how to open it. So I thought I'd just play it to you live on the air so that you could hear it.
That's probably better, Ben, because your IT work is not great.
Correct.
The fabulous Darren Lehman, as Jeffrey Boycott described him, fabulous player. Mm. What do we learn out of all that, Boof? So Mark Wood obviously not bowling today. Does that mean he won't play in Perth on Friday?
They want him to play. They'll just see how he goes next week and see how he pulls up. But they'll desperately want him to play that first test match. So I'll watch your space over the next 48 hours, I suppose. But if he's any doubt, they won't play him, obviously. But, you know, they want to try and get him up for that first one on the fastest wicket they'll come across this summer.
A bit of the debate has been around whether you'd play Jofra Archer and Mark Wood in that first test together. Forgetting the injury and everything else, would you pick both of them on that quick Perth Stadium deck, Boof?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Everyone worries about the five test matches. And I've spoken about it to you guys before. I only worry about the first three. The last three Ashes series, you know, it was 5-0, 4-0, 4-0 in Australia, and it was only 11 days, 12 days and 12 days where the Ashes was decided. So those first three test matches, you worry about, you know, getting through to the fifth. It hasn't counted. So for me, I'm actually more using up all my resources in the first three test matches, playing the best side I possibly can each and every test match to get an advantage. And if that means they break by winning, that's okay, if that makes sense. So you've got to get off to a really good start and off to a flyer in Perth, and I'm playing Wood and Archer.
Yeah, wow. Mm. So Wood in particular, I mean, hasn't played a competitive fixture since February. He's 35. He bowled 8 overs and has got a hamstring concern, and he's been 15 months since he's played a first-class match. Gee, it's a big gamble, isn't it, Boof, to roll him out there? Or are you saying, look, if we got four quicks and one of them goes down, so be it. It's a risk worth taking.
Well, they've got five. They're not going to play a spinner, are they? So they've got Stokes again as their fifth quick. So, and he bowls a lot of overs. So you've got Stokes, and I've got, you know, Archer, Wood, and then it's between, well, you think Atkinson's going to play, and then it'll be between Cass and Tongue and Potts for the other spot. And if they did play a part-time spinner fixture batting, it'd be Jacks. So I've got four quicks plus Stokes, so I think they can afford to do that with those two quicks and use them sparingly when new batters come in. Just give them a couple of overs here and there, bowling quite fast. And, you know, it's not fun facing 150 clicks, lads. So they can get away by playing them both. If they play the four quicks, which they look like they're going to do, and they're going to bowl first. I know you had a text through. Someone said, what will they do? They'll bowl first every test match. Yeah. Don't worry about that. And Australia will bat first in Perth because it cracks. The wickets crack up, and it did last year against India. So if it's the same sort of wicket, I expect Australia to bat, England to bowl, and that'll be the first tick. And then they'll play their four quicks plus Stokes as their fifth. And that's how they'll go about it.
Stokes has won the toss and chosen to field 13 times, the most in England Test history.
Well, if you're really the first person, I remember when you were coaching, you spoke about, look, you've got to be 140 plus, or at least pushing right up towards that mark. And England have sort of followed on with that model. Archer and Wood, who have spoken about 150 plus, we've spoken about Tung and Cass, sort of mid-140s, if not high-140s. Gus Atkinson can get up above 150 plus as well. It's relevant at the moment a lot with us because of Fergus O'Neill, who bowls sort of mid-120s. Are you still a believer that you know, you need to be up around that mark in international cricket?
In Australia, yes. Depending on the wickets a little bit. The wickets have changed in the last sort of 2 years, haven't they? They've had a bit more in them. So Fergus O'Neill could come into reckoning somewhere down the track. There's no doubt about that. He really comes in a reckoning in somewhere like England. I'm definitely playing him in England because it just nips all day with the Duke's ball. So that's a different kettle of fish. But if the wickets are flat, which I don't think they will be, lads, and I know that's one of our talking points, I don't think the wickets will be like last year. Perth had a lot in it. It was a great test match. It was a fast test match. And anyone thinks these are going to be slow test matches, think again. They're going to be very fast test matches. They play a high-octane game where they try and score at 5, 6 and over, get their runs as quick as they can to give their bowlers more time to bowl you out. They haven't got much variation in their attack. That's the only negative for an England point of view. I mean, they're all right-arm fast bowlers, aren't they? They all bowl 140. They need the pace. They can scare at Tal. It'll be interesting to see how we shape up against them, actually, with the side lads. That's the big talking point over the next week for me. You know, I've got two sides down. I think they're going to be more traditional. I think they're going to play the traditional six batters, which means Webster will miss out, which means Weatherall will debut, and I think that's the right way to go. So that'll be Weatherall, Usman, Marnus, Smith, Head, Green at 6, Carey 7. I think the sticking point, and this is where it's going to be really interesting, if they think it's going to be a fast game and not turn too much, they may play Webster instead of Lyon.
Wow.
Okay.
You think that's in play?
I think that's in play, lads. But Lyon's record in the test matches, more so at the Wacker, is very good. So I think they'll be loath to do that if the weather is hot in Perth. But if it's a fast game, you're not going to need the spinner on 5 days, in the fifth day, are you? Because it's not going 5 days. We're going to Rottnest Island on day five, lads.
Oh, beautiful. Corbin and I have organised that. You are the social captain of our team, but you've handed that over in Perth.
So that's good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back over to Rotto. Just on the availability of Hazelwood, so he had the hamstring concern, he was cleared. Do you ever pick a team unsure about the health of your bowlers? And I mean, I probably had my team looking very similar to yours, Boof, with Weatherall in and Webster out, but I probably felt later in the week, I thought, what if Hazelwood's not 100%? What if Green hasn't bowled a whole lot, albeit looked excellent in the Shield game? Does that sort of maybe sway things back the other way and you think, maybe we do pick Webster for a bit of extra support and it squeezes out the extra batter in Weatherall?
I don't think they'll go the lighter batter, lads. I think they like Marnus at 3. I think they open with Jake Weatherall because they picked him to open the batting, go with the traditional top 6 and back their 3 bowlers. But where the difference is, Webster and Green playing gives them that safety net for a Hoff as such. And if it's not going to spin, that's probably the thing. But if it does look like it's going to spin, Lyon will play and they'll just go a traditional side.
You referenced the fact that we want to discuss the pitches. Are we happy to leave the teams there? I think we are. There was a little bit of concern last year, Boof, about whether these pitches were going to be flat this summer. I think we want normal Australian pitches, and that will give us the best chance of winning, won't it?
Yeah, I want the pitches like last year, actually. I do, against their setup. I mean, I've predicted 3-1. I stick with that. I think Perth does enough to cause England batting some troubles. I mean, they're playing Lilac Hill. It's not bouncing above knee roll. So they're going to go into the nets. They'll still be fine. Everyone's worried about the preparation. I'm not so worried about it. It's just the nature of the beast with the way the international schedule is at the moment. So I'm not so worried about it, but I think they'll really struggle against our bowling in Perth. And then Brisbane's a day-night test match. You get Cummins back. That's a pretty good side. I think Adelaide's one they can win because it is flat. And Adelaide does turn and is quite flat. So that suits the way they play. Baseball is high octane on flat wickets. I haven't seen it work when the wicket's done something. So that's the challenge for baseball, to find the right medium between all-out aggression and holding for a period of time. And I don't know whether they can do that. Well, only time will tell. I mean, it is exciting, lads. It's great to watch. But if it does anything, you all those shots you want to play a little bit harder. And the grounds are bigger. So that plays into the Australians' hands, especially the fast bowlers, more so than not. So I think the pitches will be the same as last summer. Perth already said they're going to be. The Gabba day-night test match will depend on conditions overhead as well, what happens there with the weather and storms, etc. Adelaide will be a good wicket, as we know, and that's the one I think England's baseball can really go out and a bang and really put some pressure on Australia. And then Melbourne, I liked the wicket last year. It was a good wicket against India. And then Sydney, as I think a few people said, it'll rain anyway.
Well,
so there's your draw.
Speaking of, you're now a Brisbane resident these days. When I lived there for my very short stint, I think I lived there for about 11 months, you could almost set your watching storm season for when the weather would roll through, and almost it would every single day would come on at the exact same time. Should we be concerned about a day-nighter in Brisbane at this time of the year, given the fact the storms usually roll through about that time in the evening?
Yeah, it'll be a bit of a worry, Corb. I mean, we had the T20 the other night, and that was one washed out. Same thing. The storm came in and just right on cue. That would have been about the last session of the day-night test match. So you could miss out on a bit of time. What it will do, though, it will create some dampness in the wicket. It will create great conditions for fast bowlers to swing the ball, and it'll be tough conditions with the pink ball. So I think that'll still speed up the game, even though it might go 5 days because of the weather. It'll still be a result because of the way they play, England, and the way Australia bowl and pink ball conditions.
1-300-558-222. That is the talkback number. So 1-300-558-222. If you want to have a chat to Darren Lehman, perfect time to do it. 1-300-558-222.
If you are listening to us and you're hoping to listen to the AFLW, which is taking place at the moment, Melbourne and Adelaide, you can find that on the AFLW button on the ABC Listen app. So jump on there and check that out. The WBBL later today as well. You can find with the pink cricket ball button on there as well.
And as you said, the talkback number 1-300-558-222 almost stumped me just for a little bit. Preparation for the two teams. We've obviously talked a little bit about England. They're only hit out on this low docile deck at Lilac Hill. What did you make of the Aussies prep buff? It felt like last year, some guys had a complete pass almost until that India test. They got caught out. Other guys came through some white ball games. This year, the selection panel told them, look, everyone's playing Shield cricket. 14 of the 15 in the squad had a full Sheffield Shield match on the week just gone as a lead up to the opening test. Do you like that preparation?
I loved it, mate. Yeah, loved it. I really, hats off to George Bailey. We give George a hard time sometimes and the selection panel, but they've made him play. I really like that they've played the test match. Test match preparation, nothing beats it than 4-day cricket. And against good, hard state sides, six teams, everyone playing, it's been a fantastic lead in to what's going to be a huge summer for both sides. So from our point of view, or an Australian point of view, I think their preparation is right on the money. Ready to go. So look out, hopefully.
Steve Smith is captain here, Boof. He was obviously a captain underneath you when you were the coach of the Australian cricket team. He's 6 from 6 since he's come back into the role, which he tells everyone. He averages 68 with the bat when he captains Australia, which is just phenomenal given the extra responsibility and duties that he's able to do that. But how is he a different captain to Pat? Will he be more aggressive? Is he more instinctive in the way that he tactically manages the match? What will we see from Smudge?
They're both very similar. They work quite closely, Paddy and Steve Smith. Smith's probably a little less patient than Paddy. Paddy lets it roll a little bit more, I would think, the game itself. But, I mean, Andrew McDonald and his crew will work closely with Steve Smith, and Paddy will be there. So they'll be talking. They'll work really closely together. On ground, Steve will see more tactical awareness, and he'll chop and change a few things here and there with field placings and bowling changes depending on the matchups with the batter. So he'll do that a bit more than probably Paddy would. But that's no dramas. It'll be very similar. And as you said, his record's exceptional. So with the bat, that's what we need, the bat. We need his 68 with the bat. If he does that, and he'll keep winning test matches.
I'd like to say the first ball of the Ashes, but I don't think there's a world in which Zach Crawley is facing the first ball of this Ashes series, because I think we'll win the toss and bat, and they'll win the toss and bowl. So we'll be batting on day one. But first ball, he's out there. Is there a deep extra cover when he's on strike, or protection on the offside, or is the field up, Boof?
Oh, I think the field will be up. I think they'll be more normal, because the wicket conducive to actually, you can get caught at deep, you can get caught at point driving, for example, off a Mitchell Stark delivery. So I think they'll keep him up. The grounds are bigger. In England, they do it because the grounds are so small and so fast, you're trying to cut off a boundary. So for me, I think they'll go more traditional with the Australian team and play accordingly and let baseball take its own risks at the right time. They'll have two out in the hook a lot, though, in this series, I think. I think both sides will. You look at Ben Stokes, he got six for the other day at Lilac Hill. Yeah. They're all short ball deliveries, weren't they? So yeah. I see them using the short ball, and that's the only fear I have with our tail. I don't think our tail's going to get too many runs, to be fair, against Archer and Wood. So our top seven have to get the runs, and that's going to be a big part of how we play and how we manufacture a score in the first few test matches. Look, deep point, it may come into it at some stage if they're just going nuts, but I don't think they will. I think we'll go more traditional.
Just a quick one on that. What about his opening partner in Ben Duckett? I heard Trent Copeland on the ABC Cricket podcast last week said he would start with a fly slip for Duckett, given the way he almost plays on that bent back leg for his cut shots, almost like Phil Hughes used to do, for example, with the bent leg, and gets down really low. And rather than watching it fly over the cordon, maybe it's an aggressive start to put someone down there, both not all the way on the boundary, but in a catching position, say 10 metres off the rope at third man.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I'd rather go with out the cover, for example, because a bit like Travis Head. Teams do to Travis Head now, don't they? They put a sort of third man or a wide third man in, don't they? So I actually don't mind it. Trent obviously knows the game really well, and I agree with that. I'd have still the three slips, but almost have a really deep gully third man, if you like, fly slip somewhere around there, and then keep him a point of mid-off in, because he will play shots. And the bounce in Perth, if you get it wrong, it just can fly down there. And a lot of runs go behind the wicket over slips cordon in Perth Stadium. So I wouldn't be surprised if third man's in the game for a lot of the time.
Darren Lehman, along with myself, Corbin Middlemass and Ben Cameron. This is Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport.
What was the little limerick that our very own Captain Grumpy, Jim Maxwell, put together when Ben Duckett was playing in the Northern Ashes last time? I think he said they've got a small opening batsman, Ben Duckett. He plays his shots, and if he gets out, he shrugs his shoulders and says...
the skipper won't be happy with you, will he? he's a good player, though. He can. I mean, we talk about a lot of their players, and I know we're going to sort of go through them. I mean, Crawley, for me, he can beat him either side. He can take the attack to you, and he has got... he's tall, and he's got reach. He is a boundary hitter. But in England, he misses the ball on the inside. So he plays away from his body. If you can nip the ball back or swing it back in like a Stark, he can cause him some troubles. Ben Duggett, you just can't give him any width. He makes his own width. You've got to be tight lines with him. The big three for me are Root, Brook and Stokes. They've got a big series. Root and Brook, I mean, they're superstars. So for me, we're going to be really tight. They play very similar the same way, but all of a sudden the way... Baseball's happening. You can get them beaten either side now. You'd never used to be able to beat them either side. Now you can. So there's been a slight change in their technique, which might be successful. It might not. Stokes is the one for me. He sort of holds them together in crunch situations. So, you know, Lyon's a big player against Stokes, and that's the only one leaving Lyon out. You know, Stokes hasn't had a great time of it against Lyon. So... you know, they're the ones for me that would be interesting. And young Smith, the keeper.
Yeah.
Oh, you watch him go. He goes, lads. But again, two back on the leg side, he can't help himself. I don't think he can clear the ropes. He does hit a long ball, but as we've seen at Perth Stadium, it's big square, isn't it? It's like a 90-metre hit.
Yep.
So for me, you're not clearing that all the time. So, and he'll take it on.
Yeah, especially Perth and Melbourne. It feels like they're certainly going to, the Aussies, play on the egos of Smith and Brook in particular with those wide boundaries. We got some calls for you, Boof. 1300 558 222 is the talkback number. This is Summer Grandstand, Corbin and Ben with Darren Lehman. Greg from Ride is the first of our callers. Hello, Greg.
G'day, Corbin. How are you going, mate?
Very well, thank you.
Mate, the question to Darren is, g'day, Darren.
Hey, Greg. How are you, mate?
Very well, thank you. Mate, do you have hopes that your son will be good enough to compete in the test side in the future?
That's a great question, Greg. I do remember when I was coaching Australia, he got a couple of hundreds early on in his career. And we're in a selection meeting, and I got kicked out of the room. And these were the bad days when I used to do some bad things with my lungs. And I got kicked out of the selection meeting when Rod Marsh and Mark Waugh were talking about it and Trevor Holmes. And he obviously didn't get selected then. But does he harbour? He always harbours. You always do, don't you? He's had a great little period of 12 months. But I sort of think the time's passed him by, probably. If he'd made, he got 96 the other day in Perth. If he got 150 there and then backed it up in Tassie and got 100, you never know. If he had an injury, he might be there. But, you know, I think probably passed him. But he's had a great last 12 months. And I think he's made 500s in the last sort of 10 games or so. And that's probably better than anyone else.
I read a stat earlier, Boof, that since Pete Hanscom's debut, October 2011, so keep in mind, by the way, Jake didn't make his first-class debut until March 2015, so four years later after Hanscom debuted. But since Hanscom started, he scored 1900s in first-class cricket, so has Marcus Harris, and Cam Bancroft scored 24. The next most on that list, so the fourth most during the period of time, is Jake Lehman. With 14 Shield hundreds during that particular time, so it's an amazing amount of runs and hundred maker during that last 10 years or so since he came into the setup.
Yeah, he's been good, mate. I'm obviously really proud of him. I'm stoked the way he's gone about it his whole career. So, and he's just had a really purple patch with the Shield final 100 and things that you only dream of as a kid. So he's been so good for South Australia, and you know, hopefully he's got a few years left in him yet. And the way he plays, it's quite exciting. So he knows his game with experience, and you never know if he peeled off a couple of hundreds and there was an injury or so, you never know. But yeah, thanks for asking, Greg. Much appreciated. Yeah.
Keep your calls coming. 1300 558 222 if you wish to get involved. That's 1300 558 222. You can text in as well, 0467 920 222. We'll get to more of those shortly.
Darren from St Kilda is the next of our callers. Hello, Darren.
No, oh, look, I wanted to say that there's no sort of disrespect to you fellas, but I've been a physiologist for nearly 40 years, and I've worked with a lot of team sports, a lot of elite teams in different sports. Not much with the cricketers, though, Boof, so I'm not going against you. But my feeling is that the Poms are underdone. They're getting soft tissue injuries, and they're not used to our conditions, as you know. I mean, you're the expert. I wouldn't know really which end of the bat to hold. But, you know, I really reckon they're going to get smashed, because my background was athletic, and you did preparation, hard preparation, over and over and over again until you could cope with the racing conditions, as it were. And I don't think the Poms will cope. I don't think they've got the physical condition.
Yeah, that's a good call and good question. For me, the preparation is it's going to be how they shape up in the first two test matches, isn't it? Because it could go one way or the other. The soft tissue ones, and I'm no S&C person, but you start to worry about that. Josh Hazlewood's had a few of those issues, and he is getting on in age as such. Mark Wood is 35. So will they play him? I think, though, if you're going to risk him, you risk him in Perth. And you're right, the toll, there is a bit more of a break in the whole test match schedule this time, isn't there? So you've got a bit of time in between test matches. So if you, and if they're short test matches, you'll have plenty of time to recover and prepare. So I'm not so worried about the wear and tear on the body in this series for most of the fast bowlers. But having said that, England, you know, it is totally different than the England conditions. A lot harder on your body and slamming down on that front foot and your back, etc. So there are going to be some injury concerns. And that's why they've brought a plethora of fast bowlers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Darren Lehman with us here on Summer Grandstand, our Mega Ashes preview. Tell us what the plan would be to each of these batsmen as we work our way through the England team, as we see it at the moment anyway.
Oh, okay. And we did it a little bit before, but I'll go again. So Crawley, It's a simple one, like tight line, Stark, you swing it back in and try and hit the top of off. Use your bouncer with two back if you need. Don't have the deep point. Keep the point up because you might drive it straight to point. Keep the slips in. Beat him either side of the bat, either driving or going through the gate LBW. Duck it, you've got to be either around the wicket or you've got to swing it away. So Stark to start, and Hazelwood is a great matchup for him. And don't let him feed off anything short. So if you're going to go short, you've got to go helmet high. You can't just go chest high. And that's one of the big things that the bowlers have to do in this series. They're going to bounce the England team. They've got to make sure it's above shoulder height, because they will crucify anything sort of waist height to chest height, making sure it's there. Pope's a nicker. LBW get beaten either side. Same with Root and Brook. And Root and Brook are class players, but they can get beaten either side, and they've got to adjust to that. If they do adjust, they can get big runs. If they don't, and they try to be too funky, as we saw Brook the other day charging on two. I mean, mind you, the wicket's going to be nothing like that, so don't stress too much. Stokes making sure you try and get him early, because once he's in, he can create some damage. Spin's a good option to him. Smith, two back, definitely hooks up in front of square. Make sure your deep square's in front. And that pretty much covers it. The tail enders, give it to him. Yes. You know, two back, don't worry about it.
Harry Brook is a little bit of a happy hooker, isn't he? Like, he doesn't duck. He will compulsively hook. So good bouncer, like you said, above chest height. Make sure it's at the badge. But he gets away with it a lot in the UK. Small boundaries, short boundaries, top edges that fly away. Can he get away with it here in Australia? You spoke about the two back, not just to him, but broadly, but especially to him, I think.
He might in Perth, because he'll try and hook fine.
Yeah, and it's short fine.
And it's short fine. So he might in Perth. Other places, no. The big thing for me is England could be throwing the furphy out, couldn't they? They could actually say, we're going to win the toss and bat, like they should do. And they should, and they're going to let the ball go and try and get through the 30 overs with a new ball, then play baseball. That's what they should do. But I don't think they can. I think they're just caught up in this wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and away we go. So I think the two back will be a big play, and a third man. I think third man's in the game more so than the deep point in this series. So you might see two slips and a third man and a ring field and two back on the leg side, more so than anything else, because in Perth, the nicks go fine. And the hook shot goes fine. So they might be all right in Perth, but if they try and hit it too square, they'll get in trouble.
Quicker pitches, edges and deflections go finer. Slower pitches, they go more square, don't they? Squarer.
Well, that's right. And that's why Root's had problems here in the past. He likes to run it down the third man, and that's the way he plays. In England, that works a treat. That's no problems. Here, you actually nick it because it comes quicker off the deck. And that's one of his biggest problems. So he's going to have to be right on the money. If he has, one thing I don't want to see, I'd like him to make 100, you know, for his own career. I still like him to lose the game, but I'd like him to make 100 because he is a great player, and I've enjoyed working with him. But for me, if he makes 200s, I think England can win the Ashes. If he doesn't make any, I don't think they can. I think they really need him to have a big series.
It's a huge legacy series for him, isn't it, for Joe Root? And the same way, I mean, as great as David Warner was and one of the best Australian players we've ever seen, particularly in home conditions, but never got 100 in India, never got 100 in England, against his two chief rivals. And for Joe Root, as great as he has been and the heights that he's reached, it'll always be part of his record if he's never able to come to Australia and score 100.
Yeah, it's like people who've made hundreds and not made hundreds in certain parts of the world, and he's made them all around the world, bar Australia. And as you said, Davey had four goes of the Ashes. Four goes, Davey, I think.
19.
Four goes a lot, isn't it? You know, that's a lot of test matches. And Joe Root's now up to, 14 test matches. So you dropped in the last one of the 5-0 in 13-14, got dropped in the last test match there. So he's had 14 test matches of it. That's a big chunk of your career where you haven't made 100. So for him, if he doesn't make one now, it's going to be, 19 test matches, no hundreds. Against quality fast bowling is one of those things you go, Lara made it, Callas made it, Sangakkara made it, Smith made them, all around the world. You know, they're talking De Villiers, all those. You know, there's a lot of great players. And then you go, Joe Root, did he make one? No. But, he's world class.
Just on Joe Root, just one to watch, my old cricket coach who I speak to a lot, He's an astute eye on the game, and you and I have spoken about the deflecting down to third man. He feels like even though Joe Root scored the three centuries against India, he feels like there's a bit of a sign that he plays the starting line of the ball more than the finishing line nowadays, Boof. So just one for you to watch as he's got a little bit older down here in Australia this summer for Joe Root.
Yeah, okay. That's a good one. He's a good watcher, your ex-coach, isn't he?
He's a good judge.
So a lot of people think, well, what did Ben become? But he got him to the level he played at. So that maybe he made the most out of what he had.
He doesn't want me on his resume.
Andrew from Perth, the next of our callers. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, guys. Look, I might be in the minority here, but I'm very surprised Khawaja's playing in the series so far because of his form. Especially after the Windies tour, if it was me, I would give him two tests. And if he's still out of form, I would drop him, and maybe put like a Renshaw in or something like that. And I know Boof was talking about leaving Lyon out to put Webster in, but if you're going to leave Lyon out, why not put Doggett in?
Oh, that's a left field one. Yeah, well, Doggett will be there for cover for Hazelwood anyway. Khawaja will have to make runs. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the talk is there behind the scenes, isn't it? You can sort of see the narrative that he needs to get runs in his first couple of test matches. And results will dictate that as well, everyone. If Australia are losing and their top order's failing, they will have to change. They just can't keep the same set up because they need to either get back in the series. If they're winning, you can sort of carry, and they've shown a bit of faith with everyone, haven't they, over the last couple of years. They will do that. So they're happy to carry if they're winning. So it's results-driven series, this one. And there'll be big changes either way if the results don't go one way or the other for either team. It's going to be fascinating how that plays out at the end of the series.
Yeah. A lot of people feel like Khawaja's under pressure. I feel like he's almost under the least amount of pressure. If the team wins and he doesn't score any runs, he's finishing anyway at the end of the Ashes. He gets to go out and sing the song in the dressing room at the end of the Sydney Test match and they retain the Ashes. If he struggles, he's out of the team anyway. It feels like for Khawaja, it's all finishing one way. It's finishing with him out of the team. So whether that happens on the back of an upswing, if it happens after a victory, if it happens after a loss, it almost feels like some of the pressure that otherwise would be on Khawaja is now placed on the selectors. They're the ones that have backed him in. And so if it fails and it somehow is detrimental to the team's ultimate ending, ultimately that's on them as much as anything, that they've decided to stick with this guy at this juncture despite the trend being against him.
It's 200s in his last 44 test innings, I think, off the top of my head, Boof.
Well, that's okay. So what we were talking 44. So it's not even. It's probably 30 test matches. Some of them they would only bat at once, wouldn't they? Mm. So that's a lot of test matches. I mean, the selectors have shown faith with their squad. It is an ageing profile, as we know. But I saw a tweet the other day where the 05 side was older. Or the 06, 07 Australian side was older than the current one. We've only got Cameron Green under 30, then everyone else is over 30 and some pushing mid-30s and Aussie Usman at 38. It's how they play the first couple of test matches. That is going to be the sticking point. It's fascinating how it's going to play out, lads. I can call reasonable 3-1, but, you know, if that first test match goes haywire for Australia, it could be the other way.
Yeah.
That first test match is huge. We saw Australia fight back. I'll tell you what will happen. If Australia win the first test match, I don't see England fighting back. But I see Australia win the first test match. If England win the first test match, I see Australia can fight back. But it's going to be a challenge. You've got to win that first one. It's so important. And if England win it, they get some confidence. Australia can get back into the series because obviously they hold the Ashes. And people talk about they haven't won the Ashes in England. Well, really, England have been poor the last two England series, haven't they? Because they've been at home and produced the pitches they wanted and only got two all in both those. So Australia actually win that. If they're mine, they hold the Ashes. And, you know, that's how many series is that now that Australia have held the Ashes? Is it five or six or something like that? Five, it must be.
Yeah. Yep.
Five series, and England haven't really come close, have they? So it's a big one for England. Brendan McCullum will want them to go out. And if they play badly the first test match, they'll attack even harder, lads, the second one. That's what they will do. So it's fascinating.
Quick on here, Buff, before we get to a couple more calls. Travis Head, of course, from your native South Australia, one score over 40 in his last 20 hits across formats. Level of concern for Travis Head leading into this series in his form?
The way he plays, zero.
Yep.
he's just all out gun. He's Bazball. He's our Bazball, isn't he? He just goes for it. He doesn't worry about where it is. He's just playing the same way. And that's the X factor we have in the top six. Everyone else will be pretty normal the way they play. But he plays, you know, chaos cricket, if you like. He just keeps going. So if he has a good series, he'll score so quickly and put them under so much pressure that they'll sort of lose track of what they're supposed to do. And with that, then the other batter at the other end gets some freebies as well. One of the things England will do is they'll have attacking fields. They don't defend. They just try and get the wickets as quick as they possibly can. They'll have in-out fields as such. You won't be able to control the scoring. If we bat normally, we'll score at 3.5, 4 and over anyway. The challenge for us is going to be about 120 overs. If we start doing that consistently, then England are in trouble.
Phil from the sunny coast is the next of our callers. Hello, Phil.
Hi. Will we ever get to see international teams playing against state sides or country sides or universities or anything else? Because I believe the Australians are going to whitewash the English.
Great question, Phil. I hope it's a whitewash. I hope you're right there. In terms of the scheduling, that's the hardest thing. I know when I coached, we play a couple of the counties pre the test match, Ashes test match in England, and you play one or two in between. So you might play three or four games, but it dwindled down from the likes of 10 and 12 in the late 80s, early 90s. And then the opposition teams in England, last time I don't think they did anything. That was more because of COVID, really. But the time before that, they might have played one or two. I think you should always play one or two. I think England have missed a trick only because they could have played a really good side against WA in Perth at the Wacker, which would have been a good prep. They've had decided to go their own way, and that's, you know, only time will tell whether that's right or wrong, because if it's wrong, then, you know, everyone's going to say it's poor prep, aren't they? If they go okay, they're going to say the prep was fine. So it just depends on how the narrative washes up with the results. I personally, to grow the game in the areas, I would love to see a country game and some state games in there somewhere where we possibly can. But it gets down to schedule.
Good on you, Phil. The next of our callers, my name is Earl in Queensland. Earl.
Hello, good morning. I'm Earl from Queensland. I'd like to know if Australia has some great fast bowlers as England has over the many years. Would I presume we will win the Ashes, hopefully. I remember Joe Garner and Rohan Kanai. I'm from the Caribbean, and we had the best cricketers in the world at one time.
Yeah, well, you certainly did. And look, to be fair, the awesome foursome, including Lyon in that, our pace bowling attack over the last period of time, Stark, Hazelwood and Cummins, is second to none. Corbyn will have the stats on that, I'm sure. But it'll be a case of their wickets between them would be greater than any quartet, I imagine, that's played the game for a long period of time. So we've got that. In reserve, we've had blokes that have been unlucky to miss out, like someone like Michael Nessa from Queensland, who's now probably 35 and gone. But Jai Richardson, who's been injured prone over the last couple of years, he's an excellent fast bowler. And then we've got Cal Vidler from Queensland coming through the ranks.
Yeah.
Marley Beardman, who didn't play, obviously, in the T20s, which was a little bit disappointing. I would like to see him play if he could have. Xavier Bartlett from Queensland. So we've got a few there in the wings ready to go. And as you said, Fergus O'Neill, Xavier Bartlett, Jai Richardson are unbelievable bowlers in England. They're going to be really good in the Ashes in a couple of years' time. So replacements there, no dramas. We need someone quick, proper, fast. They're coming through the ranks, and you know it's a Beardman. A couple are injured at the moment. Meredith's quick in Tassie, so there's a few there.
You ready for some quick answers, Buff? You've got 50 seconds. You're on the clock. I'm going to throw these comparisons at you. I want to know which side you're leaning on. Openers here. Are you going with Crawley and Duckett, or are you going with the Australian combination, which at the moment is Khawaja / Marna / Weatherald?
Australia, because I leave the ball better.
Okay, Marnus or Ollie Pope?
Marnus, easy, tick.
Smith or Root?
Smith, tick.
Head or Brook?
I'd like to say Chaos Head, but I'm going to go Brook.
Stokes or Green?
Stokes because he can win an Ashes on his own, but Green is going to be better than Stokes at the end of his career.
Carey or Smith?
Or Carey.
The Quicks. Which combo?
Oh, ours. Definitely. Yep. If Cummins is playing as well.
Hazelwood, Stark.
Yeah. Yep. They're the three.
Boof, I'll see you in Perth on Friday.
Don't be late.